Good morning, and thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with this week's sermon. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Loving God, you are our hope. You have promised living water to all who ask, and you call us to draw near. You call us to make our needs and our hopes and our desires known, that we might be transformed and that our truest desire might be to live in closer communion with you and with your Son. We have often lived as though we were far away from you and you were far away from us. We've lived as though you were uninvolved with us, or even aloof. Yet in Christ, you have shown us just how near us you are, walking by our sides, risking all to be near to us, so much that you would come to be our servant, our Savior, and our friend. During this season of Lent, we especially consider the gift that we received in your Son. We reflect on his suffering, and we pray that we could internalize what was truly done for each and every person on this earth, including each of us in this room. We consider it alongside our own trials, our own struggles, our suffering. We know that he is here alongside us as we walk through our own dark times. We thank you, O God, for the human perspective that you, our God, can have because of your gift in Christ. We grow so comfortable in our own settings, working through our own issues, that we often forget to look outside of ourselves and consider the needs and hearts of others. Open our eyes to the needs around us. Give us courage to take risks in loving others. May we be inspired by the risks that Christ took to love those around him. Time and again, he was criticized. He was encouraged to live a seemingly tidier life, but he never sacrificed his love for others to do this. Today we come before you lifting up to you the yearnings of our hearts for your creation, for all people. Help us to be stewards of the many gifts that you have given to us. Help us to care more deeply and diligently for the brokenness of your world. May our lives honor you by caring for the earth and for all of its creatures. May we be renewed and reconciled to live in peace with all people. Surrounding us, Lord, are the great and many needs of your people. Help us to better remember the poor, the homeless, those in need in your world by serving those that are all around us, those that we might too easily pass by on the street and not notice, or even notice and look away. Teach us the meaning of prayer for the lost, the lonely, and the grieving, so that through our witness to your love, we could share that love with those we encounter. Empower us through your love to share healing with the hurt, the sick, and the dying through your touch and the touch of your Son, Jesus Christ. We especially lift up those from our church prayer list and those on our personal prayer list and on our hearts today. We lift those names, those concerns, those issues to you. Oh God, raise up your people again to live lives of deeper prayer through more ready service, that we in this community of faith might be joined with Christ in his suffering and in his resurrection. For it is in his name and by his faith that we lift up our prayers to you. We lift up together in one voice the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we come to hear a good word from God's holy word, and so we open to the book of Romans, chapter 4. First reading verses 1 through 5, and then continuing verses 13 through 17. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham? our ancestor according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him, who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For by the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist.
In this season of Lent, we are continuing here today with our brand new sermon series called The Gifts of Lent. We are in week 2 together. We usually talk about gifts as something that we give each other, the things that we receive in that season of Christmas. We talk about this in that season of Advent, like those 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And in that time of the year, we always think about the right thing to give our loved ones and our family and friends. We make our list and we check it off twice and three and four times. In that season, we even talk about the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh that the wise men brought to Jesus when he was just a little baby. That is the time of year, Advent and Christmas. That's the time of year that we always talk about gifts that we receive and gifts that we give. But in the 6 weeks of this season of Lent that started back on Ash Wednesday, the season that is all about repentance and sacrifice, introspection and prayer, in this season we realize that there are things that we can receive from God, gifts that we receive from Jesus Christ himself that teach us and that talk to us about a different way to live the Christian life. And so in this season of Advent, even though it's different than in the season of Lent, right? Even though it's different than Advent and Christmas, it's not baked into our culture. Lent isn't baked into everything that we have and do now. There was a way for us to follow. And so last week we started out by talking about the gift of obedience that God has given us. About what it means to sacrifice our lives, to give up things that the world teaches us and tells us about, to give them up to follow God more. That was last week. This week we have the gift of faith. You can even call it the gift of grace. And so last week, as it was all about having faith back in God and being faithful and obedient to God, this week is a different way to look at faith. It's something different and more personal for us. If we were to build some kind of Old Testament Mount Rushmore kind of monument of like the most important people from like the Old Testament. If we were to build some kind of monument, we might put a whole bunch of people up there in stone. We might have Adam and Eve. We might have some of the prophets, some of those old time teachers, maybe like Jeremiah or like Isaiah. We might have some of the important women of the Old Testament, like Queen Esther, who saved God's people from destruction and death. Up on this Old Testament Mount Rushmore of like biblical all-star, rock star kind of people, we'd have people who did amazing things in their life. But certainly we would have Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah on that list. Now I know that for some of us, it's been a while since we've talked about Abraham and Sarah. For some of us, we've slept last time since we've talked about Abraham and Sarah. So let me refresh your memory about who they were. Abraham and Sarah first show up in the book of Genesis when God is calling people to follow him. And so God comes to Abraham and says, I need someone who will lead the people, and I am choosing you to be the father of a great nation. You are going to be so important. You are going to leave a legacy. Generation after generation will look back to you as being the father of all these people. God even says, if you look up in the night sky on like a clear night and you see all the stars of heaven shining down like lights upon you, God says, that is how many descendants you are going to have. God says, you're going to have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and you'll have a legacy that will follow after you. But there's a problem in the story when God comes to Abraham. Because in the nicest way possible, well, Abraham is old. I mean, he's really old. Like, he is well beyond the years that people start beginning having families. And he's not alone, because like, the problem gets worse. Not only is Abraham old, but his wife Sarah, she's old too. Together, they are old time people, like rocking chair, front porch, kind of giving up on life kind of people. This is Abraham and Sarah. But God comes to them and says, you're going to have children upon children, have this great nation. And at one point in the story, whenever God comes, Sarah bursts out laughing. She says, God, you must be nuts. Do you know how old I am? She says to herself. But lo and behold, if you read through the story, you see that Abraham and Sarah, even though they had issues along the way, God used them anyway. Their son Isaac was born. They have grandchildren, Jacob and Esau. Their ancestors go on to form the 12 tribes of Israel. They make a great nation. They have descendants for all to follow. And even though they doubted, they made so many mistakes, they gave up actually at one point on the promise that God had for them. And they tried to make their own way because they were convinced that God was gone. God did not give up. God had faith in them, in his promise. We heard a piece of that in the passage from Romans just a moment ago. Because in this, Paul is saying that God's promise to us rests on faith. It rests on grace. Paul is telling us that Abraham's promises were not fulfilled because he kept all the laws, all 613 commandments there in the Old Testament. God's promises were fulfilled simply because Abraham and Sarah were chosen by God. Though they had sin, though they had mistakes, though their lives were full of dirt and grime and issues and problems, God loved them and chose them anyway. God had faith in them anyway. That's something to note. This is a great time to live in our little state of Iowa. We know that spring has come early. Temperatures are way above normal. Robins have been singing in the tree outside my window here at the church. The grass has like just like the slightest little tint of green to it. And with the sun shining here and now, people have been out walking and riding bikes and running and having just a wonderful old time in these like spring-like temperatures. And like a light switch in our neighborhood, suddenly we have seen our neighbors again. We have not seen them for months on end, but now all the garage doors are up and people are outside talking to each other. It's like, when did you move into the neighborhood? Where have you been? We've been here the whole time. It's just been months and months and months. And so it is a great time to be here. But with this comes something that those of us in the Midwest know especially about. We have to deal with the grime and the sand and the dirt that has built up on our car and in our garages all winter long. Maybe it's just our house, but our garage sometimes looks like a sandbox got picked up and turned over and dumped out everywhere. There is sand all over the place, picked up from the street. It's on the car. It's like in the car. It's on the floor of the garage. It gets tracked into the house. We have to vacuum it up. It's just simply everywhere we go. And so on these early spring days, we do this kind of Midwest ritual, right? Where you back out your car. And you take out all the Christmas stuff that's been living in your garage since like December 31st. You kind of take that out too, and you sweep everything out, and you clean it up, and you make it look new and bright again. And it feels good at times to take our cars to the car wash, to vacuum it out at home. And sometimes we know that the line at the car wash, like at the one over on Agency, sometimes the line is backed out almost to the road. So many folks are there. But it's refreshing with this kind of spring cleaning, post-Christmas cleaning, whatever you want to call it. It feels good to get ready for the season to arrive. Now with this, we know that we wouldn't wash our car at home with a hose and a bucket of soap. We wouldn't wash it all at home only to then go and drive through the car wash in town. I mean, we would not expend all the elbow grease, use all the water. We wouldn't drag the hose all over the driveway. We wouldn't get ourselves wet if we were planning on taking it to be cleaned by the professionals. In the same way, we would not wash all of our dirty dishes in the sink with like soap and water. We wouldn't like scrub on like the dirt and the grime and everything that's caked on. We wouldn't wash it all there simply then to place it in the dishwasher to get washed again. Like, we wouldn't wash it twice. We would never do that. But the problem is, sometimes this is how we view our lives. This is how we tell ourselves we have to get ready to come to God. How we have to get ready to come to church. Sometimes we think that what's stopping us from having a relationship with Jesus Christ is our sins and past mistakes. What keeps us from getting involved and finding faith and having a place to grow is the grime and the dirt that's been caked on, not only all winter long, but for longer than we know. We tell ourselves sometimes that if first we can get our life together, then we can come to church. Then we can follow God. What we don't realize is that by following Christ, by actually offering our lives to God, is actually how we get our lives together. We don't have to go and clean up someplace else first. We don't have to brush off all the dirt and dust and pride and sin and guilt and all those things. And then we can come to God by coming to Christ. That is how we get all those things off our lives that have been built up. You see, Paul talks about this today. God chose Abraham and Sarah. God did amazing things for them and through them and by them. And none of that came to them because they were this amazing couple who did like otherworldly faithful things. I mean, they may end up someday on like the Mount Rushmore of Old Testament stud people who were just downright phenomenal. But the promise came to them simply because God loved them. And God chose them just as they were, with sins and fault and dirt and all. That was enough. You see, that was enough because they were enough. That's the gift that we receive today. That as much as we have faith back in God, God has faith in us. God offers us grace. God takes away our sins. Because nothing that we have done can keep us from God. It's nothing that we've earned. We are simply called worthy. That we are good enough just as we are. Because we are enough just as we are. We are enough. What a gift that is. Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has come to show us the way, who has come to wash away all the dirt and the grime and the sand and all the sins and past mistakes, all the baggage that we still carry around. He's come to remove them from us. We know, O God, that at times we have our list of reasons why we can't turn to you, why we feel so unworthy and inadequate in the world's eyes. But the good news of our faith tells us, O God, that you love us just as we are, simply as we were made and called your children. Help us, O God, to receive this gift with confidence and to share that good news. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @BurlingtonDOC. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.